So as has been explained this evening, we are going to be starting a new series in 2 Peter. And I'm going to be totally honest, when I approached this book, I have not read it for a long time. I had no kind of idea on main theme or main agenda of where I wanted to go with it, or where we as a team wanted to go with it. So let's see what happens. Let's see where we end up. Let's see what God wants to say to us this evening. But the other day, I was watching Mastermind. I was watching some repeats on iPlayer. And one of the things that fascinates me about Mastermind is when it gets to the section where the candidate or the competitor gets to choose their own specialist subject. And it always fascinates me by the wild and wonderful things that they come up with when they're asked, like, what their specialist subject is going to be. So just so we can get to know each other a little bit better this evening, I would like you to turn to the person next to you, and I would like you to discuss what your specialist topic on Mastermind would be and why. Off you go. Definitely using that as an example. Just to let you all know, David Goodings is either Britney Spears or Beyonce, just so you know. Okay, great. So hopefully that's given you the opportunity to get to know the person next to you in a little bit more of a personal level. But I thought it'd be really interesting, and this is a slight tangent to where we're going this evening, but just bear with me. It'd be quite interesting to Google some of the strangest Mastermind specialist subjects that there's ever been. So I did that, and some of the ideas that came up were the Moomin saga. Anyone remember the Moomins? Someone had a whole questions on the Moomins. The vampires in British fiction, I thought was quite interesting. I could only think of one vampire in British fiction. That was Dracula. I couldn't think of any. If there's any others, let me know at the end. Hannah's giving me a really weird look, so I feel like there might be a few more. But also, I didn't realise that in Mastermind, somebody has the power to, like, ban a topic from the specialist subject. You can say, no, we're not having that. So some of those examples were, and I thought these were great, the development of the self-service fuel station between 1963 and 1968. Sounds fascinating. The orthopedic bone cement in total hip replacement wasn't allowed either. And also the banana industry. I thought the banana industry would be quite interesting, but apparently not. So why have I started with Mastermind? Why have I started with this question? Well, what I want to think about tonight is this idea of each of us have areas or particular things that we are really interested in, that we're really knowledgeable about, that we really want to spend time getting to know and learn about and be challenged on. And I think as we come into tonight's passage, we'll see that actually what Peter is challenging on is it's these same kind of ideas, these same kind of attributes that we need to be applying to our faith that will mean that we can grow in our knowledge of God and grow in the knowledge of what God has for us and he wants for us. So, 2 Peter, what do we know about it? Well, we know that it was written by the disciple Peter, probably about 30, 35 years after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. It was written to a group of Christians who Peter was urging to stay strong. Both of Peter's letters are about standing up to opposition, are about standing strong in the sign of opposition coming their way. But what we see particularly in 2 Peter is that the opposition is beginning to come from internally, not from different countries or from different religions, but it's actually beginning to come from within the church and from other Christians. So we know that 2 Peter is written, or 2 Peter is written, from what Peter has learned in the last 30 years. And it's the key points that he wants to pass on to his readers. It's for followers of Jesus to take hold of and wrestle with. It's not just a list of do's and don'ts, but he actually gives us serious things to contemplate, to pray through, and to think on. And it's not just information, but something that will change the way we live so that we will be more like Jesus and be able to imitate him more in our lives. So Peter knows that this opposition is coming. He's heard about it. He's seen it coming. And what he wants to do is encourage the churches, mainly in Asia Minor, that they should stand firm and stand strong in the sight of this opposition. But he doesn't just want to tell them that. He wants to give them really key examples and really big things to wrestle with to allow them to do that. So I wonder when we take this passage or we take this letter and we apply it to today, what kind of things are we being opposed by? Is it culture? Is it how we're viewed as Christians? Is it how the church is viewed? Is it whether we trust and respect each other, even in society? Are we moving more into that individualistic idea? Because really, we know as Christians that we are called to something bigger and better. We're called to this idea of being holy, to live a holy life. And to do this, we need to be constantly growing in him by developing our knowledge of him. So this idea of knowing God isn't just a one-off thing. It's something that we need to be growing in and constantly pushing for. A bit like this onion that's on the screen here. Any of you who have seen Shrek will know about the layers. Well, each time we gain more knowledge of God, the idea is that another layer of us, another area of our lives becomes more Christ-like. So let's read tonight's passage together from 2 Peter 1. And we're going to just do the first section this evening from verse 1 to verse 12. So it will be on the screens, but feel free to follow me in your Bibles as well. So that's 2 Peter 1, starting in verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. Make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by the way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. For I will make every effort so that after my departure, you will be able at any time to recall these things. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can be here freely tonight to read it, to learn from it, and be challenged by it. And Father, I pray for wherever we are on our journey with you, whatever situation we have arrived here tonight with, God, I pray that you would speak to each of us clearly, that we would be open to the whispers of your voice and the movement of your spirit. In your name, amen. Now, just before I put the next slide up, I need to put a bit of a kind of like note before out there. So last weekend, I climbed the National Three Peaks. And to be honest, in that 24-hour period, I probably came up with enough sermon illustrations for about the next 6 months. So you're probably going to be hearing about this challenge for quite some time. So last weekend, climbed the National Three Peaks, which is basically trying to summit Ben Nevis in Scotland, Scafell Pike in England, and Snowdon in Wales in a 24-hour period. Here are just some of the great views that we had. You'll see from the top of Scafell Pike at the bottom, such a beautiful view at 7 a.m. in the morning. The weather on Ben Nevis, which is the one at the top, and also the bigger one as well came in. You can see that we had a great time, just what you want to be doing on one of your weekends. So it was made up of a team of people from across the UK, some of that I'd met before, some that I hadn't. Some people who had climbed many mountains before and some people who had climbed none. There was definitely some city people from the south who weren't really sure what a mountain was. But, you know, we all had to take different roles during this challenge. Sometimes somebody would be leading up front. Sometimes somebody would have to wait with someone at the back. Sometimes someone would need a few minutes just to really pray some stuff out from what they were communicating to the rest of the team to make sure that it didn't affect everyone else. But what I saw ultimately from this team, what I really gained from the weekend, was that the reason we were all there was the same reason. The reason we were there was to raise money for an organization we all had some kind of interest in the organization. We had a reason to be there. And because of that, for that 24-hour period, we gave everything we had to that challenge. Whether it was physical ability, whether it was the mental capacity to keep going, just that sheer determination to get this challenge complete was shown throughout all of the team. And I think it's similar when it comes to looking at athletes. So we look at athletes who are really skilled in what they do, the amount of training, the amount of time that they spend, the amount they give to be one of the best in that sport. Is something that we can all clearly see and is very visible to us. And I think tonight the main message of this passage is that as followers of Christ, we are to give everything we have to him. Everything we have and we are to him. That means that our identity becomes less of us and more of him. That what we talk about, how we act, what we say is all a representation of Jesus. And throughout this passage, there's four areas in which I think Peter describes this or highlights this as something that we should be seeking to do. So firstly, in verse 1, even the way that Simon Peter introduces himself as a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. These are really two interesting words that he used to describe who he is, both a servant and an apostle. For me, these words seem to contradict each other, one being quite a low position, another one being quite a high position. When I think of these two words, I don't usually associate them being together. But when we look at the original Greek that was used to when this was written, we see that the word that was written for servant, which is doulos, means purchased slave. Particularly this idea that there was a transaction, that there was an exchange of something that meant this person became a servant. There was a change that happened. And the word for apostle is kairos, which means lord or master of someone who owned slaves or had people below them, had people who were following them. And I think this is really interesting when you look at these two words, that the examples that were given of just what our relationship with Jesus is like. So the idea that Jesus came to earth, that he died on a cross, rose again, meant that he paid for our slavery of sin. He set us free from that. He paid what needed to be paid. And through that, we have, yes, become free, but we've also become a servant of him. We are, he has purchased us for us to have freedom. But at the same time, he doesn't give us freedom and allow us just to go and do whatever we want and be whoever we want to be. At the same time, he calls us into this to be an apostle and to be these leaders, to be these people who people look up to and see and seek guidance and direction from because they see there's something different about us. And as Christians, we're all servants of Christ because Jesus came to set us free. And because of that, we have the freedom to follow him and walk with him. Now, when I think about this, this change in me, am I radiating some of these ideas? What seems to scare me slightly is an event that's coming up in October. Really looking forward to my wedding, really looking forward to the day. It's going to be great. But there is something in me that there's just like this pit of fear that all these people from across different areas of my life are going to be in the same room. There's going to be people that like I went to school with. There's going to be people that my family are going to be there. Like there's going to be people who knew me before I was a Christian, people who've only known me as a Christian. And I'm like, there's going to be my dad who, you know, great guy. But what are they going to say? Like, oh, what happens if that story comes out? Or what happens if we say this? Because actually, we all have different areas and stages of our lives that we're maybe not proud of, that we maybe wish hadn't happened or we hadn't gone there. But what Peter says here is actually you are now free from that. And you are to continue pushing and working towards being this servant and this apostle of Jesus. You are to continue working towards this because as a Christian, we will see change in people's lives. Like I hope on that day in October that the people that knew me at high school, not as a Christian, see a massive difference in me by being here at my wedding, at our wedding, sorry. That they see a major difference in the life that I now lead, the decisions that I make. Because that's what Peter here is earnestly calling each of us to. He's saying that we have a freedom from sin, death, and pain. But to do that, we're going to lose the life that we have and that we so much individualistically want. But by losing that, what we gain is a higher calling, a purpose, and a plan. But again, there's that important reminder that we are to approach this from a servant attitude. That this is not something that we can walk into in arrogance or walk into feeling like that we own this and that it belongs to us. But it's something that as a servant, we are to approach Jesus each time and ask for. Secondly, we see who Peter says that he's addressing this letter to. So to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our Lord, of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter is writing this to those who have received faith, who have obtained it. He's writing it to the people who understand that this is a gift. This is not something that we can just decide that we're going to follow one day and drop the next. But actually, it's a gift way beyond anything we deserve. Like, I enjoy giving presents. I enjoy thinking through the process in which to buy somebody a gift. And at the same time, I enjoy receiving gifts in which somebody has clearly thought through the steps in which they're going to give me. Because the gift that Jesus is giving us, the gift that he has given us by dying on the cross, is one that by no one can believe by their own power. Nobody can obtain this gift by their own desires and their own incentives. While yes, we have to make that decision to follow him, it's only as a result of God's actions that we can truly come into that relationship and truly begin to see those layers of onions or layers of us change into becoming more Christ-like. Thirdly, we see the words and the key words that Peter uses in this passage. The idea that he granted us and he called us. Because we've been given and granted the freedom so that we can follow the call or walk in the plans that God has for each of us. And I know that word calling is such a Christian word. It's such a difficult word to understand or to answer the question of what is your calling. But I think what Peter is saying here is that this isn't the idea of an individualistic calling, of an individual calling that some of us have or that all of us have somewhere in our lives in a particular passion or a particular mission or a particular people group to reach. But actually, this is the call that we are to be partakers in what God is doing. This morning, Alistair was sharing just some of the things that God is doing locally through Stirling Baptist Church. And subsequently, in the next few weeks, we're going to hear of things that are happening regionally and beyond. What God is calling us here to do, but also allowing us to be part of, is the work that he is already doing. This is not a job. The example that Jess showed earlier, that Joe shared earlier, get that right, is one that, yes, as the youth team, is great to see. It's great to see God moving in our young people, but it's God that's moving. It's not us. We are only there to be partakers and to see and to help what he is doing. And it's this idea, again, of being partakers in that work, coming at it from a servant attitude, realizing that this is not something that we should take for granted, but actually we should realize that this is something that we're being called into. And fourthly, we see that we are told, for this very reason, make every effort. Now, when it comes to this idea of making every effort, in the legal world, the idea of due diligence is something that I've learned about from watching the series of Suits. So each of these episodes, it's about a legal firm in America who are like one of the big top firms and are all the time taking on really high profile cases, really difficult cases that nobody else can solve and that nobody else can get to the bottom of. And you keep hearing this word about due diligence that comes up because it's this idea that they must pay close attention to the matter at hand. And if these lawyers and these legal people and these solicitors are not going to pay close attention to what matters at hand, then they're not going to be very good at their job. They're not going to see the really little facts that help to solve the case. Or they're not going to uncover the piece of information that's missing that helps the person who is innocent become free of the charges that are against them. And what Peter is saying here is that we are to pay close attention to the matter at hand. This isn't something we're just to take for granted and go, oh yeah, great, that's really good, thanks Rob, I'll think about that. It's actually something that we need to be paying close attention to. Are we constantly approaching Jesus with the servant attitude? Are we allowing him into the areas of our lives that we are struggling to show him? Because what Peter next says is he gives us a list of qualities that is what we will see happen if we pay close attention to this. So we'll see virtue. We'll see knowledge. And when he says knowledge here, he doesn't mean like, oh, you'll go and get a theology degree or you'll get some kind of qualification in studying the Bible and then therefore you will be able to tick that box. What he means is that you will constantly be seeking a knowledge of God. That means you want to have a deeper relationship with him. That means you want to know more about his character, about who he is, about the things that he has for you. We'll see self-control, we'll see steadfastness, we'll see godliness, we'll see brotherly affection, and we'll see love, because we're learning from God and gaining the mind of Christ. And when I look at this list and I see the different things that we could be seeing, and I think if we were to see those in action in the society that we're in, if we were to see these things happening against the opposition that the church faces today, how would Christianity look? How would people encounter Christians? But there is a warning in this section, a warning of nearsightedness. And this is a warning to Christians not to forget what they have been given. This is not something that I've just been given, so therefore I'm going to keep it to myself. Or it's not an individualistic thing. But this is something that, because we have been given this great gift, it's something that should radiate and be demonstrated from us. So we are called to be diligent in our calling by being faithful and effective. We're called to make every effort to share that with other people, to have that in every area of our life. But Peter finishes this section with an encouragement. And he says, therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. You've heard these before. Everything I've said this evening is probably not new. But these are things that we constantly need reminding of to be able to come back to Jesus and say, I am sorry. These are areas of my life that I haven't given you, or that you no longer have control on. And Peter continues to say, I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as your Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Peter states that he intends to remind his readers regularly of this. This is not something to be forgotten or to take for granted. But what he also says is that when I am gone, this message will continue. People will continue to hear that we are meant to demonstrate Christ, that we need to be constantly growing in knowing him, that we need to be open to what that looks like. So the challenge this evening is, yes, where are you in your walk with God? But also at the same time, we need to be able to encourage each other, just as Peter has done for each of us here by reading this passage. So, I don't know what your specialist topic was for Mastermind. I know that Dave's was Beyonce and Britney Spears. But what the important thing is to think about, is that what Peter has reminded us of here is that no matter what our interests, our hobbies, the things that make us tick, motivate us, we need to make sure that we are constantly growing in knowing him, that we are developing a knowledge that sees us changing and being challenged on how we live. And it is through this that we will be able to stand firm when opposition comes, and staying true to what it is that we are called to, and making sure that we approach each situation from the right place with the right attitude. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this passage. Father, we thank you for the gift that you have freely given each person here. Father, we thank you that we can approach you at any time about anything and any matter, about any area of our life that we are struggling with. So God, I pray that as we come into worship now, as we come to take part in communion, that we would reflect on that idea that we are examples of you, that we are called to lay down our life and take up the one that you have for each of us. In your name, amen.